gotta be Christmas, must be tonight. Mary carried the light. Must be Christmas, must be tonight.
The band.
Episode 159. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Wincoller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. Well, hello, Ciderville. I'm kind of catching up because I just returned back to my spot in Ciderville after traveling out to California. If you recall, in last week's episode with Michelle McGrath, who is the executive director of the United States Association of Cider Makers, I was telling you before we got into that chat with Michelle, and you should definitely listen to that chat, by the way, because it's all about CiderCon coming up in 2019, the first week of February. Gives you lots of key pieces about why you should go. And believe me, you should go. I'm going to be there. I want to see you. I want to see you and raise a glass because there is nothing better. I mean, we could sit in our little hobbles, I don't know, our little kitchens, sitting up by the fire alone, which sometimes I do many a night. But it's so much better to hang out with people and take that opportunity. So CiderCon is a place to be. I'm going to have a link in the show notes to that organization, which essentially this is their annual trade fair, trade conference, trade scene. It is in the middle of Chicago Cider Week. It culminates with the Chicago Cider Summit at the end, which I will also be at. That's separate from CiderCon. But if you get the drift of what I'm saying, it's just full on. We're flooding the streets of Chicago with cider. No better act to do than that. And in February, why not? You know, people say, go to Chicago in February. Are you freaking kidding me? It's cold. But last year, it was actually balmy. So, you know, you never know nowadays. I tell you, it was actually cold in California while I was there in the evening. Beautiful during the day. But February in Chicago ain't so bad. And to tell you the truth, where else would you want to be on a cold, wintry night than with a bunch of folks drinking cider and enjoying some good cheer and getting the scoop on different things? So that's what last week was about. And as I was telling you before I went into that little piece on CiderCon that I was sharing with you, that I was heading to Santa Cruz to ferry my mama back to my brother for the winter. She did get there safely. I want to say that it was a pretty crazy trip. We were doing the red eye because I wanted to try something a little bit different, see if we could sleep. Well, that didn't really work so well. Arrived, and you know, there I am wheeling the wheelchair and getting mama to the hotel, and lo and behold, I left my cell phone in the cab. Didn't really realize that until mama got to bed, and I was then going, what the hey? Luckily, mama has a smartphone too, so I was able to use that. Tracked my phone via the Find Your Phone, saw that it was sitting up likely in the cab's car, which I later found out was true, up in San Francisco, about 13 miles away. You know, we're so dependent on our smart technology now, and I was just getting geared up to go on this tour about Santa Cruz, Monterey Bay, to be working on a cider tour. So basically, I was freaking out. Didn't get a lot of sleep that night. Woke up in the morning, headed out to the airport. I put a loss mode on my phone, which tells a person to call this number. The whole time I was just kind of, I'm practicing this new piece here, which is to keep yourself calm and collected in really intense times. And, you know, it worked. And a whole bunch of beautiful stuff happened as a result. I discovered a couple things, and I want you to put this in your little tool belt next time something similar happens to you. The first thing I did was I asked the hotel I was staying at, did they have security cameras and could they identify the cab driver? Well, they couldn't do that, but they could let me know that he was driving a white Prius. So I'm like, okay, great. So we have the car. Next, I was going to the airport anyways to pick up the rental car for the rest of the trip. And I said, let me see if there's some kind of like cab taxi manager thing, because most airports have this. Well, lo and behold, they did. And aren't they the kindest folks at the San Francisco airport? I just want to thank Fo for helping me there. She was absolutely lovely. All the cabbies were really great. I had to go kind of like in the belly of the airport to find their office. No windows down there. But there was all this holiday cheer. They had like lights up and everything. And I was kind of in freak mode, no doubt. She welcomed me in and she said, well, what time? It was like 1:30 in the morning, Pacific Coast time. And she was able to find that cab driver. And just as she was like showing me the photo of him and I recognized him, boom, on my mama's phone, I got the ring in. He was calling me to connect with me with my phone. So I learned a lot of different things there. One is the technology of all these cameras. Sometimes they do have value for connecting people. One way or the other, we're going to get it. And that was quite a way to start off my trip. A little bit of high stress. Mama was kind of freaking out in the hotel room. Locked me out. I had to get like security to get me in. Yes, it was crazy. But lo and behold, I delivered the package. We always say with my brothers and I, when my parents, and now it's just my mom, when they would land from one coast to the other, we would text each other and say, the eagle has landed. And the eagle has now landed in Santa Cruz, spending the winter there. And we'll see how it goes when you're that old, as my mama is. She's, by the way, she's 98 years old. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Anyways, when you're that old, every day counts. So we made it to Santa Cruz. And that is, I want to share you a piece of that because there's some really fun news coming out of there. I did a bunch of recordings that will be coming out, such as with Jay. By the way, he was singing Robbie Robertson from the band. A beautiful song. I'm going to put the actual link in the show notes, the YouTube clip. It's the band Christmas Must Be Tonight. I thought that was just kind of like a nice seasonal thing there. But also recordings with makers too. So you will be hearing about that as we roll into this here podcast. When I come back, I want to share with you a little bit of a more update on a cider competition coming up also in February, like CiderCon. And then we'll go into what I'm going to call in this episode, which is a little bit of a Cider Chat Live, bringing to you real-time travels out and about in Ciderville, in this case, Monterey Bay, California. The 2019 New York International Cider Competition is going to be held in conjunction with the 6th Annual New York International Beer Competition. If you remember last year this time, I was talking about that. If they got enough entries, they're going to split off and have a cider competition. So when you get your medal, it's going to say cider competition and not beer competition, which I think is a step forward. This is a big movement for the alcohol professor who set up these competitions, and he is AKA Adam Levy. Maybe some of you met him at CiderCon last year in Baltimore. Really nice guy, really trying to shake things up here. And the judges are top trade buyers from the New York metro area, although I know that he's bringing somebody up from a cider bar in Washington, D.C., so that's pretty cool too. So he's bringing in cider bar folks, retailer stores, distributors, and importers who are all judging the cider by its category and price point. Totally different take on competitions than normal. It is open to all commercially made cider from around the world. Your cider does not have to be sold or imported into New York to be in the competition. So I'm going to have a link in the show notes to that. Again, that's a New York International Cider Competition. You want to start sending it in now. And if you want, you could also submit entry for the Berlin show. Send your ciders all to the New York competition, and they will pay for the shipping to the Berlin. And now we're not talking Berlin, Connecticut. We're talking Berlin, Germany. So that gives you a pretty wide swath to be able to cover with just one shipping, which makes it a little bit more affordable, don't you think? Okay, again, that is coming up on February 10th, the competition, so you want to get your entries in now. Look for a link in the show notes to this cider competition on episode 159. Oh, it's about time that we get our glasses ready and we're able to kick back if we can to listen to a little bit of cider chat, or perhaps you are there like little elves in the factory making your presents and gifts. Who knows? Wherever you are, I hope that you're having a good time, and right next to you is a glass of cider. We're going to switch gears a little bit. I'm going to bring in a little bit of a Cider Chat Live music to get me in the groove to bring this special segment to you, which is a behind-the-scenes glimpse of my trip to Monterey Bay. I was there, one part to bring Mama, the other part to be planning a totally cider tour to Monterey Bay. We're looking at April, folks, and I hope this wets your whistle because there is some cool stuff happening there. Definitely awesome people, and slam dunk cider too. That's all good. And not to mention, well, you know, when I thought about where should I have a cider tour in California, and I know there is good cider up and down that magnificent state from north to south, I had to go with this particular region primarily because this is the center point. This is where it all was at way back over 150 years ago. That story will be coming up in a upcoming episode of Cider Chat. But as I take you along here, you're going to get a little bit of a sense, I hope, and I'll fill in the gaps if you don't, on why I chose Monterey Bay for this here cider tour. So come along with me, and we will be driving on to a cider meetup, actually a cider dinner, with regional cider makers in Santa Cruz County. And away we go. U-turn, and here I'm going to take my little turn here. It's the afternoon, and in California, that's when everybody's going home, and traffic could get crazy, which is one of the reasons why it's really nice to do a cider tour, and you don't have to think about that, and you could imbibe and just give the reins to somebody else. That is key. Rolling up on this hill here, and I'm going to find this location somewhere. It's up here, not too far. Handy-dandy map here. Oh, got a little ways to go. So it looks like there's a bunch of eucalyptus trees. You roll down your window, you breathe in deeply. It's like having like a menthol. Oops, looking down the hill, I'm seeing some nice apple trees. So I'm feeling like I'm getting closer. Whoa, that's nice looking at. I believe they're apple trees. Who knows? They could be like low trees of some other variety. There are so many fruits out here right now at this time of year. In December, there's a persimmon on the trees just dropping everywhere, which is not something you want to have dropped on your car, for sure. All right. Looks like, once again, that I might have gone too far. Let me see. Pull over. People are just riding my tail here. And I gotta go back. Where am I again? Now, Nicole's husband, Felix, did this beautiful map of this location where they had the big old barn garden. There's a Fuji, Gala, apple scene, Gravenstein, Pippin, cider block, crab apples, chicken coop, creek. All right, let me try this again here. Main entrance, one lane, main entrance road. So I'm going to turn around and see what I got here. Dang, the cars go fast around here. I'm just a country bumpkin living on a dirt road. And I'm going in the wrong direction again. Alright, here we go. Gonna pull in here. I could see clearly. Yep. Alright. One more U-turn. You gotta know where you're going to get there. So they say. Way it is in Cider, isn't it? Gotta know where you're going. It has to be this like whole hillside here. I was probably in the exact place I was supposed to be. I have a feeling where I pulled over was exactly where I was supposed to turn in. That is hilarious. Let's see. That looks like it. I'm gonna pull in here and I see a fire going, so it must be the location. There's a lot of trees here. This is exciting. Exciting. Parking spot. Yay. Outdoor fire spot here, I believe. Yeah, there it is. That's the little outdoor pit with logs around it to sit down on. Oh, me oh my. So this is down in like a valley, hillside. The eucalyptus trees high in the top. And all these trees here.
Before me stood a large white barn. You'll be able to see some photos of all this on the show notes for this year, episode 159. I was able to see Nicole and Natalie, the two sisters behind the Santa Cruz Cider Company. And I was able to hear a little bit of an update on their business plans. They are going to be remaining the Santa Cruz Cider Company. It's a LLC, but they have to move their operations to Watsonville because, well, dang, you know, Santa Cruz is an expensive town. Not to mention, to make cider in it, oh, it is tough overhead. So they're heading to Watsonville, which is very up and coming. But the other thing about Watsonville, and just again, to put you in perspective where it's located, kind of like in the center of Monterey Bay, well, in that city, not too long ago, really, as the crow flies, it was known as Apple City. And that's going to be the new brand that they take on, Apple City Cider. So stay tuned for some updates coming out of that cidery as we move forward. In the meanwhile, when I saw Nicole and Natalie, the next step we did was to take a walk out into the orchard. Because there's nothing better than that. Let's do a walk. Okay, so this is the...
So Lucivai is the property that we're on. And that's what they named it. It means Light of the Valley.
Light of the Valley.
So she hopes on one day it will be again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It went into neglect for a couple decades.
Oh, I have a feeling. Yeah. Goody.
Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, so what we've been doing, you know, is we take this map. When people get here, we do our events and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We give them these laminated maps.
Yeah.
And then we walk around. So we usually have like a check-in out here, and then we usually just do this little loop right here.
Mm-hmm. Around
so
the
figured,
Pippin,
yeah.
Red Delicious, corn,
yeah.
Oak. What kind of oak is that?
Is it live?
This little guy right here?
Live oaks? Live oaks, yeah. I mean, that's something that we don't have where I'm at. Hey, cheers, you guys.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers for visiting.
Cheers.
Yeah. Nevada?
Whenever I get a rental car, I feel like, let me get one that's out of town because then I could like be totally spaced out. And people are like, oh,
yeah.
She's from Nevada. Give her
okay.
When I just saw that, I was like, I didn't know where you were based out of. I was like, oh, no. I was like, well, yeah, you made a trek.
I know.
But you made even more of a trek.
Yeah. I almost grabbed the one that said Connecticut.
Oh,
I thought that would be better, but I thought I had too many miles. I was like, I'll do Nevada.
Yeah.
I want people to like give me space, and they always let me in. And
well, and then and Nevada folk are usually a little more rough and tumble.
Oh, they are.
That's
okay.
One of those things
well,
where
all
it's
right.
Like, then. Oh, you're from Nevada. You're cool. You're cool.
Yeah, I know. Right. I know.
You're
I know.
Cool. You're good.
There
yeah.
you go. Well, that fits rough
yeah,
and tumble.
Keep it in here, bud.
You can see all three kinds of redwoods from here. So this is, you know, a sequoia.
Oh, my God.
This
so
is
that is
85-year-old sequoia. So I think her uncle planted that.
Looks like hundreds of years old that
yeah.
it was like a fairy ring or a tree mm-hmm. ring because there's like two giant stumps next to it.
Yeah. And then we've got Whoa. The coastal redwoods, you know, here, here. And over there. And then the neighbors have some dawn redwoods, which I wasn't familiar with until now.
Dawn redwoods.
And we have 22 kinds of apples on the property now. This is, we think, the oldest tree. This is Simeon. He's the only one with the name.
Simeon?
Simeon.
Simeon.
He's a bellflower.
Bellflower, yeah. That's kind of like unique to this area. Not unique, but it's something that's really used in cider around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the soil like? It feels sandy, but
sandy.
Is it pretty
yeah.
sandy?
So it does not hold moisture very well. We do, every time we plant a tree, we've planted like 150 over the last couple mm-hmm. years.
Mm.
We dig up around the area, we fill it with compost,
mm-hmm.
gopher basket. We have a big gopher problem.
Oh dear. Huh, gopher. What do they do? What
they
do gophers
go for the roots?
Gophers mm-hmm. go for the roots. Thus, yeah. So now we're walking underneath a little canopy of sequoia.
Redwoods.
I don't
redwoods.
Know the difference. Coastal. What's the difference? Like, how can you tell the difference between a redwood and a sequoia?
Well, so sequoias are in the redwood family.
Okay.
Yeah, but these are coastal redwoods.
Because
so you see these more like between here and Humboldt, along the coast mostly, and straight, skinnier. You know, more clustered together.
Mm-hmm.
The sequoias need more room, I think, so they kind of stand alone.
So these guys here, there was a center one that's mm-hmm. gone, which must have been like
right
gargantuous.
And then it had all these babies.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, I don't know, not 10 feet across, but it could be.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
And if you notice, it's a lot cooler right here. This is where we store apple bins sometimes in the summer when we're not quite ready to press. We'll just pull them in here and let them hang out in the shade of the redwoods.
Yeah.
Because this is the Gravenstein block. So these are the first,
I love that.
These are the first ones to become ready for us.
No kidding.
And Gravensteins are like end of July, beginning of August.
Okay, end of July, beginning.
These are some of the ones that we have that are on standard rootstock. So they're a little bit bigger, a little bit more difficult to pick. There's still some in the top middle, I'm sure, that we couldn't get to.
And I remember talking to you, you know, way back, you were saying, like, how long it was taking you to pick here. And so is that this area here
this
that
area.
You're talking about because it's so unwieldy, you know, and just...
Just because of the larger trees.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, bump ladders around the tree and go up and down, and you have to get in the middle of the tree and climb each one. The other ones that are on semi-dwarf, I mean, we're both tall. We can stand on a bucket and reach everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I look at these trees, I'm thinking, oh, that's a small tree to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I get how they could be difficult because they're, you know, they really have a wide spread and they're, but height-wise, they're looking, I'm going to say like 12 feet in height.
Yeah.
But that takes a lot if you're hand picking everything, which is what you're doing here.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to walk in these guys a little bit here.
Absolutely.
Because it looks like there's some grafts. Is that a graft back there? A really nice, amazing looking graft or girdled or?
Maybe. We started pruning recently too.
Okay. Well, this tree way back there with all the sticks on it.
Oh.
That one.
Oh, yeah,
it looks like that's a graft there. It looks like it was top worked. They cut it off at the trunk and put that on.
Yep. It is Gravenstein. I think that was the one that took us 10 hours to harvest.
Oh, really?
We ended up all over person hours, and it's 10 hours to harvest one tree.
Wow.
Yeah, these are all red and green Gravenstein.
Yeah. So, red and green... Not yellow. Yeah. Why am I thinking gravestein is yellow?
It's like a, it looks like it has stripes, or mm-hmm. not really spotted like the bellflower, but like stripey, splotchy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Some are redder, some are greener. It depends on where they come from in the tree, how red they are.
Now these trees, you are pruning. Like, when are you pruning? They don't seem like they've been pruned ever, for a long time.
We've lightly pruned for a couple of years. This is the first year we're going to do a heavy prune.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, not that they look, you know, are you getting good production on these them?
Yeah, they're kind of biannual.
I mean, a lot of places don't do any pruning at all, you know, they just let them be.
Let them go, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Hi, Laura. Hi. I thought I'd tag along.
Yes.
I haven't been out here in this spot forever.
Yeah. You've been good.
Good to see you.
Happy holidays.
Hi. Laura. Nice to meet you.
You too. Ooh, watch out. Watch out. These apple trees will just embrace you.
Oh, yeah. No jumping.
They are something.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you got a lot of grafts here. That is something, you know. They were like top worked and grafted right there.
So there are some notes on the property.
Oh,
We're still figuring out what they are.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. But, boy, you know, nothing like having older trees in there. The soil, which is kind of sandy, really drains well, but there's like a moisture here, right?
There's a
creek right there, yeah. So
I figured since they're on standard rootstock, the roots go deeper.
Dang,
so we don't irrigate this block.
It just feels like the ground is really damp.
Oh, it's like that. Finally got the rain. I was going to say 2 weeks ago, this was dust.
Just to bring you a little update here, Ciderville, while we were walking about, myself, Natalie, and Nicole, along came Laura Everett of SoCal Cider. She is making cider in barrels, doing all kinds of stuff there. And that's going to be the location for the upcoming cider dinner, which will be part of the Totally Cider tour to that region. But in the meanwhile, the four of us kept on walking with the little dog out into the orchard. And then you'll hear a little break, and then there's a whole bunch more makers to be meeting as we roll along. But in the meanwhile, let's take a little bit more of a mini cruise to the pond and some trees.
Do you have many of these guys here?
Pippins?
Pippins. So is this in this area here? Or is this
there's a couple. One, two, three, I think.
And then they're all scattered throughout the rest of the orchard.
All right.
So are the tags, like, obviously delineating, but when you've got two on there, I'm going NP, Newtown Pitten G2.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the lettered numbered ones are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it goes all the way back to, like, her uncle when he managed to. So it's known as still as the Silva Ranch.
Right,
so he was Ed Silva.
Yeah.
And he was one of the main apple guys around.
Nice.
Her mom took it over but kind of neglected it for a couple decades. And then when her mom passed in 2013 is when she started to bring the health of the orchard back.
Right.
So it's been about 5 years. But
it's great for organic. And
yes. Yeah. So she wants to get certified organic next year.
Oh, wonderful. Huh.
This is the old chicken coop.
Old and new.
Yeah. We've got 14 in here and then 3 up at the house. Free range during the day so we can,
Now, is that something that you're maintaining?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's my husband, Felix, and I.
Yeah, all right. So do you live on this property here?
We do, There's a house just up there.
Oh, you're up there. Okay.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
So we met them in 2015. We started buying Gravenstein. So they sell most of their apples to Martinelli's. And that's the main buyer around. Yeah. That's what kept the apple industry going.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we met them because Martinelli's isn't open early enough for Gravenstein. So they started thinking about what they could do with their Gravenstein, and they thought cider. So, they called us, and we came and got theirs in 2015, and by 2016, we'd moved in.
Wow. But are they continuing to sell to Martinelli's? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so they're letting us plant some new trees, so all the little babies are Wixen crab.
Oh, I see them, on the hillside here.
Yep.
So is this a cider? This was what you have as a cider?
And then there's some over there as well.
Okay,
we planted some Yarlington
I saw that on the map.
And Kingston Black this year.
Great.
There's one gigantic, beautiful black twig in the corner.
Wow. And it looks like it's fenced in, the property, so you don't really have to worry about deer coming in here?
It is deer fenced. Every once in a while, I'll find deer tracks.
Yeah.
But
They haven't done much damage.
Yeah.
Lately, we have coyotes.
Do they come in
all kinds
here?
Oh yeah, lots of coyotes.
How would they get in here if the?
There's, you know, well, there's a creek, so they can come in.
Oh, so they come up. I see.
Yeah. So wow. This is a pond that we actually got a grant to put in for the native red-legged frog. So we're trying to encourage the, you know, the red-legged frog to move in. But yeah, there's a few Red Delicious there. Mm. When we've had, I think, one or two weddings on the property. That's where people get married. It's kind of, you know.
Beautiful.
Set up a little spot there.
Can we take a walk up to the
sure.
pond? I'd love to see it.
It is not holding water.
It's not?
This year, yeah.
Because not like you haven't had enough water.
Yeah, so it's just, it filled the year they did it, which was the winter of 2016-17. Because there was so much water that year. And then last year, it was already dry by January or February, I think.
Wow.
But they'd like it to be able to fill and hold water till August.
Yeah.
For this frog that's endangered in the area. So this is the whole Watsonville Wetlands came in and planted all the native plants in the area.
Is that what all the flags are
mm-hmm.
here? These are all the native plants.
Yeah.
I see. What would be a native plant that is? Is it these like little furry?
A lot of the grasses.
Okay.
Yep. There's some yarrow, and then these kind of, you know, taller, greener, pond grass.
Wow. So we're looking at like kind of a bean, not a fully bean shape, but it's like a almost like a teardrop kind of shape. And I would think with all the rain you had this year, it would hold, but maybe it's just the ground just kind of swelling up like an oak barrel waiting to hold the water, right?
That's what we're thinking. It's soaking in at least, so that's good for fire suppression and for the plants.
Those beautiful eucalyptus trees that I noticed on my way down here, it's just, I love those guys. It's always like I come home, I'm like, I get cleansed in my head again.
And so what we learned too is that the eucalyptus, the blue-gum eucalyptus and the poison oak are the first things to flower in the spring. And so the bees, if you have those on your property, the bees are attracted to those. So we let, you know, other than the few pathways, we let the poison oak go here because it has that early flowering.
So where's the, where would I see poison oak here?
So
is
it's
going to
be a lot kind of around the fence line up there.
Oh, okay. All right. So not necessarily in the orchard.
Yeah. We try and keep it out of the orchard since, you know, the kid and the dogs are running around.
Yeah. So all those like little water suckers coming up and, or, you know, suckers we'd call them.
Yeah.
It looks like little crowns on the trees, but
I don't think those have been pruned in 2 decades.
Yeah, they're going to be happy when that happens.
Yeah. Is that this winter's project?
I don't know. That would be next winter's project.
It's a little overwhelming sometimes.
We're going to really get into the Gravensteins.
Yeah. Yeah, you said those are Red Delicious, right?
These are reds,
yeah.
We don't care too much about those.
Yeah, I was going to say,
And so that's kind of what some of these standard ones are, reds, and this is going to be our grafting practice.
Okay.
Because then over here, the few little guys are the Yarlington Mill and Kingston Black. They have the Scion Exchange here, which is kind of cool.
Good.
So in January, I'll go to that and see what I can get.
Where's that out of?
So it's part of the California Rare Fruit Growers, the Monterey Bay chapter. So I joined that a couple years ago just to go to that event, and it was awesome. I got 15 different kinds of apple tree scion. And then, of course, knowing the Everetts and the Manns and stuff like that, I'm sure we can do a trade this year.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
What?
So I'm just going to describe it. So we're up on the top of a hill. We're looking out at this beautiful orchard. You know, where it's December, and so they're like a grayish kind of hue. And it's an orchard that's kind of a little sleepy in a way. And I actually look at it, I'm kind of happy because it's not like totally chop, chop, chop. And it gives you, it just speaks volumes of like potential right there.
Mm-hmm.
It really does, saying, oh, yeah, we'd like this. Kind of like when you get a haircut and you start feeling good about that.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, this is really pretty. And then you're just in this incredible bowl here.
Pleasant Valley,
Pummit?
Pleasant
Valley.
So it used to be 200 acres of apples.
And right in this valley, stretching
and
out.
And it was all the same owners that are, you know,
same family.
Silvas.
Yeah.
Wow. And then as people passed and married and stuff, it got smaller and smaller. Yeah. And her cousin still does manage this block, and there's another grower across the street. So it's apples all the way from here to Freedom Boulevard. But then across the street here is a neglected. And then up the way, they've planted grapes and olives.
Mm. But across is more apple orchards that are neglected.
Mm-hmm. And almost nearly gone.
Santa Cruz Cider Company is using these apples. You're also working with 5 Mile.
Correct.
Right?
Yep. One friend, Dave, who has just 2 acres of apples, but he's the what got us our start. Like, him letting us play on his property and getting to know the varieties okay. is what got yep. the cider company to start.
I see.
So we still use his 2 acres of Gravenstein and Pippins and
great
crab apple.
Wow. Wow, wow. Yeah, this is really quite the location in this like little hub here.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Flat sunny acres in Santa Cruz.
Yeah. Nice and flat, which makes it nice for picking. And,
yep.
you know, obviously somebody did put some consciousness in planting this, and thank goodness that the apple trees are still here.
Yeah.
After that walkabout in the orchard, it was time to head back to the 1880 Apple Barn and have a cider meeting and then a cider dinner. And don't you know, there was quite a bit of cider flowing too. So let me call out or give a shout out, if you will, to some of the makers that were there. We had Robbie Honda of Tanuki Ciders, Jake Mann of 5 Mile Orchard, Katie Ryder of Ryder Ranch Ciderworks, Laura Everett, as you heard, of SoCal Cider, and Aaron Cerventi of Cerventi Ranch Cider, based in Watsonville. It was fun meeting everybody, and you'll hear a little bit of that going on next.
Hey! Hi, Katie! Good to see you!
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh.
Yay.
Watch out for the railroad.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there's Robbie.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey. How are you
doing? Hi.
Good.
How's it going, buddy?
What's up?
How are you?
Jake.
Good. Rhea, welcome.
Thank you.
This is Rhea. This is Auntie Rhea. This is Mika.
Hi.
Is
Say
hi.
Mika?
Mika.
Mika.
Mika Sue.
Mika. I love your
mermaid.
She
has a podcast. She has like a radio show.
It's
really just her
cool.
microphone.
Yeah.
Here,
you want to say hello to everybody?
Mm.
Okay, that's all right. Yay. Well, I have some ciders in the car. I'm going to grab out two.
Oh, what a memorable evening that was to hang out with such fine quality people. Oh, and drinking so much cider. I want to really raise a glass and thank Santa Cruz Cider Company. That's Nicole, Natalie, and Felix. Not only did they host that event, they gave me a little Christmas present, and part of that was a card filled with a donation to Cider Chat. I mean, wow, these people, they are working hard, and to do that and support the podcast, it blew me out of the water. That evening, I went home with a bunch of cider that actually made it home here. So I have some cider from Tanuki Cider Company. Thank you very much. Some from SoCal Cider Company. Thank you very much. And some amazing cider from Santa Cruz Cider Company. Ooh, one of their big bottles of the Champagne Method Cider. Dang, that's good stuff. Oh, we're going to be sharing that here on New Year's Eve, don't you know? And I'll be tasting it and preparing you as we make our way towards the Totally Cider Tour coming up this spring. In the meanwhile, when I come back, we're next going to be driving down to Watsonville, just a little further south of where we were the night before. So hang on to your glass, and away we go. Last night's cider meetup with the makers of Monterey Bay area, that is, let me explain it like this. You look up in the sky and you see a crescent moon. Well, the top part of the crescent moon is where Santa Cruz is located, and you go around down to the bottom, and that's Monterey. In the middle is an area called Moss Landing, and all over are these amazing apple orchards that are being revived, lovingly cared for, pruned for the first time in years by makers, upstart makers who are just totally jazzed up for cider, which makes this a really fun area to be in because you got the California scene and you also have the weather, the view. I mean, heading down south right now, I'm looking out in the distance, and when you go down south on Highway 1 in California towards Monterey, all of a sudden you see giant mountains in the distance. It just feels like a world-class experience. This morning's a little foggy. Sometimes that happens in the morning here because you're right on the coast. It's really sweet. And where am I headed this morning? I am headed to Martinelli's. Martinelli's Cider Company. To speak with John Martinelli. This is a legacy family. And to sit down with John, who is the CEO, general manager of this family-run company. I'm coming in, and on both sides of me, it's just flat, 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 fertile fields. Not sure what's planted. Maybe those are artichokes over there, all kind of turned into the soil. I'm here in, what month is it? It is December. It's hard for me to believe, because December at home for me is, it's like 0 degrees there. But here, no problem. Now, one of the things I'm seeing are all these hoop houses. This is what's happening to this area. Apple orchards are being taken down to make way for the more profitable berry business. The sad thing is they're taking up apple trees. Now, do the math. How long does it take to grow a berry bush versus how long does it take to grow an apple tree? And what kind of quality do you get on young apple trees versus older apple trees? It's a no-brainer. Don't cut down apple trees. Save the orchards, which is part of my reason for being here. I really want to showcase this region, encourage people to stick with it. Don't get, I don't know, don't think about failure. You're working towards success. There's no time for failure. And keep it going up. So that's a big part of it. I see the sign that says City of Watsonville. It's an industrial area. This is a huge farming region. And, of course, it's the location for Martinelli's Cider. So I'm going to be pulling up here somewhere. I'm not even looking at my GPS right now. Just kind of looking all around because I'm a little bit early. I know we're going to be talking about the business and then also looking at the company store, like museum, that has so much history of this area, which was once called Apple City. So let's bring it back, shall we, Ciderville? And raise a glass to that. I am in the boardroom of Martinelli's, and it's a really nice boardroom because it's flanked with cider bottles all over the place. A lot of photos of the process here that they do to make the apple juice. And then I'm on the far end of the room, which would be really the front end of the room. There's some black and white photos here of, let's see, packing crates. It's a while ago. Probably looks like glass bottles on their side. The classic sparkling apple juice bottle with the foil top. The classic billboard that would be everywhere with Martinelli's Gold Cider, Drink Your Apple a Day slogan. And then these glass bottles that then turn into a yellow apple, which is lovely. I mean, talk about branding. Also, there's on the side of a bus, an old-style bus, you know, kind of a rounded-style bus. It says, a bewitching treat, Martinelli's gold metal cider. And there's like a witch with a long nose and not the best-looking teeth and a ponytail and a pointy hat. And she's doing a spell onto the Martinelli's bottle. Some really neat photos here, including, I believe, some of the ancestors who were part of this operation, the different Stephen Martinellis over the years, the family photos, really cool stuff to see. Then on here is a case of the Martinellis. It comes in 12 bottles per case. Alcohol, 5.7% by volume. That's really also what we want to talk about, the anniversary edition celebrating 150 years. Very cool.
Honest to goodness, I don't know why I was speaking in such a hushed tone since I was the only person in that conference room. But I was, because it kind of gave you that sense. And I, well, truthfully, Ciderville, I was a little nervous. I mean, Martinelli's. I had been drinking Martinelli's since I was a kid. And everybody I talked to on my trip there was saying, Martinelli's. I know Martinelli's because it is everywhere. It's something that whether you drink cider that is fermented or just sparkling apple cider or sparkling apple juice, as they call it at Martinelli's, you most likely have opened a bottle of Martinelli cider. It is everywhere in the U.S. and also worldwide. So you could kind of get my little bit of like, oh, I got to speak quiet. Because the excitement was building, and I wanted to just give you this little snippet of my original meetup with John, because the actual chat, I will be cutting this out just due to the fact that we had so much ground to cover. I mean, how do you cover 150 years of a family legacy, a business like Martinelli's, in even one day? So this will be cut out for that upcoming episode, but I just wanted to share it with you to give a sense and a flavor of this guy, the man at the helm, the person who is like the namesake of the namesake of the namesake, all these Stephen Martinellis. Well, this is Stephen John Martinelli, the CEO and general manager when we first met, just to give you a little snippet. So away we go.
Hi. Yeah, how are you?
Good. Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you. Yeah. So you got your Cider Chat shirt on.
I do. Well, you know, to walk into unknown places is good to be identified. Exactly. You know all about that.
Well, I usually wear my logo wear, but today, since we're not filming anything, then I don't have to do that. I could just be me.
I kind of like that phrase, and I know that was really short, and that's all you hear of John in this episode, but I liked that ending, so I could just be me, because this guy is really authentic. In fact, I'm going to be posting a photo of he and I that we took, a little selfie. So warm-hearted, so passionate, and guess what? He agreed to lead the tour at Martinelli's and show us the operation on the Totally Cider Tour coming up to Monterey Bay. Now that is something. I mean, to be able to go into a facility that produces so much juice, to see their workings, to meet someone who has been part of a family that's been making cider since 1868, that is just going to be wow. And the fact that John's going to be part of that tour is really, really exciting. I'm super stoked to be rolling out of 2018 and looking forward to 2019, knowing that we have an apple company that's been around for so long, getting back in the game after actually very short window of time. They stopped making cider in 1979 and came out with this cider this year in August to celebrate their 150th year. But they did not start the company making sparkling apple juice. It was what Americans like to call hard cider company from the get-go. But in the beginning, Martinelli's just called it cider. They never called it hard cider until much later on. So kind of interesting in that way. This is good news. I really feel this is really good news. So if you are a commercial producer or if you are a cider drinker, always kind of lamenting saying, I can never get cider to my door. I really feel that Martinelli's entering the market now after so many years and having such a broad reach is going to help move up the education level for so many people and have folks who don't normally try cider, trying cider, maybe for the first time, because they trust that brand. It's like a household name. It's in grandma's cupboard waiting for the kiddies to show up and serve them a little glass of something special, something that she could pour into a glass, a fancy glass, and make the kids feel really cool. Okay, I'm sharing with you a little bit of my grandma experience when I was growing up and having that before I was of drinking age. This is something that's really important to notice. I want to also put it in this perspective. We have some large cider companies in the U.S., but they are run by beer companies. They are brewers. Martinelli's is an apple company. Something very, very different there. And not only does it bode well just for cider education, but it continues to hold that market. You heard earlier Nicole speaking about the fact that the property, the orchard they're on, is selling to Martinelli's. That, if not for that company, a lot of those orchards would not be there right now. They just wouldn't have been. And so they kept that market going for so many years in a tough, tough climate. So hang on to that. That chat is coming up. I can't wait to go live with it and share it with you. In the meanwhile, I'm going to post the little selfie that I took with John. I absolutely adore the guy. And I'm very happy that they are still around to celebrate 150 years. Quite remarkable. The rest of the week in Santa Cruz, I was bopping around here and there, checking out the scene and fine-tuning the Totally Sighted Tour to Monterey Bay just for you. If you're interested and you want to get on the list now, do send an email to me. That's Rhea, R-I-A, at ciderchat.com. I'd like to thank all the good folks who are patrons of this here podcast. In fact, last week came in a new patron to Cider Chat, so I want to give a big thanks to Mark, who has the same name as my brother. So you got to be a good guy, Mark. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It always makes my heart swoon knowing that listeners like you are helping to keep this podcast and also cider to continue going up around the world. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Yeehaw!